And there are no half measures with the Lord Jesus either. He said that he that is not with me is against me. And no gospel preacher can be satisfied with doing half his work. And every one of us will give account one day to God for the message and the ministry that God has given to us. And today I want to speak to you about evangelism. Paul said to Timothy here, do the work of an evangelist. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and today we continue our messages from the Word of God from the pulpit of our church here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. We're about 20 miles east of Vancouver, and we're in between the city of Surrey and Langley, and I trust that you may even consider joining with us any Sunday for our services. At the close of the program, we'll give all the details concerning our services here in our church. We have a message in closing today on a biography of an atheist. And we have also a message in song, Crown Him with Many Crowns. But the main message is on doing the work of an evangelist. Getting out there and winning men and women to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I trust that the Lord will use that in your heart. Just a warm-up thought for you. Peace applied by saving faith. The gospel is really the news that peace has been made between God and sinful men through the death of his Son. The question then really is this. How do we make this our peace? How do I put my name in there so that all that the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross is mine? What must I do to be saved? The New Testament classic answer, of course, to that is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is what Philip the evangelist did with the Ethiopian. He preached unto him Jesus, and the man believed, was baptized, and he went away rejoicing. Don't miss the application of this peace. The Ethiopian sitting in his chariot was deeply burdened by his sin, and he wanted to be saved. And that day he found peace with God because he believed on the peacemaker of whom Isaiah wrote. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And so peace was applied into his soul that day because Christ was his peace. And this is how you too will find peace with God. In Romans 5:1, we have another great text on peace applied to the believer. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole gospel is here. Peace with God, being justified from sin, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way, because there is none other who died for sinners as Jesus died. He is our peace. Don't miss the peace that it's in a person. He is alive to hear your cry and to save your soul. And he will give you this gift which he purchased at the cross when you believe on him. Saving faith is faith in the blood of Jesus. Believe in the atoning death of Christ. Get your heart and soul filled with that work done and done eternally for you. Praise God, there is eternal life. Did you know that there's no double jeopardy with God? There is a human law, a rule known as double jeopardy. A man cannot be held twice for the same transgression. A provincial judge, for instance, cannot ask of him a penalty, and then a federal judge ask another for the same transgression. The same principle is in effect in divine jurisprudence. God cannot ask for a second payment for the same transgression. And if Jesus paid for your sins, they are paid for all eternity. None can doubt that you are a free soul, saved by faith alone in the blood of Jesus. Stay tuned now as we come to our short hymn and then to the message, Doing the Work of an Evangelist. Now, you know that great gospel commission? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. Well, that has been translated sometimes and commented on, that we are to go and make disciples. To teach is to make disciples. And so it's not just to go and extract a lip profession. Yes, I will be a Christian, sign a card, say a few words. But the goal of evangelism is to see people truly converted, ready to follow the Lord Jesus, to be his disciple, and to serve him in the fellowship of his church. And so it goes full circle. We here in the church, we pray, we organize ourselves, we produce whatever literature or helps that we help us do this. We go out to invite men and speak to men and talk to men about their souls, and then we say, it's God's will for you not only to profess Jesus as your Savior, but that you serve him in the fellowship of his church. And that becomes the opportunity that is laid out before us. Then I come to the sense of responsibility. Now, I take this from the statement, indeed it's a command to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Do. So it's our responsibility. And we're to do this, firstly, for the glory of God. That's the Great Commission, has God's glory in view. We're not doing it for the name of our church or our denomination, but our main purpose in reaching men with the gospel is the glory of God. The royal law teaches us that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and everything we do to the glory of God. And you think of the glory that can be brought to the name of the Lord Jesus if you were to have a part in leading one soul to the Lord Jesus, in going to their home, working with them, talking with them, inviting them, bringing them along maybe in your car, and seeing them hear the gospel, and whether you have the joy of praying with them or I, or they do it alone, but the Lord gets the glory. And in the church, the Lord Jesus is exalted. We're also do this for the good of our fellow man. The second part of that royal law is to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And the greatest good that you can do to your fellow men is to give them the riches of the gospel. It'd be worth more than $1 million, worth more than all the temporal aid, help, encouragement that you can give, to share with someone the way of salvation and the way of peace with God through the Lord Jesus. That is the greatest absolute good that you could do to your fellow man. And if we love our fellow men, then we will do this. And as we look at people, we've got to realize that everyone is a precious soul, a soul that is worth more than the whole world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? One soul is worth more than the whole world. And the Lord Jesus elevated the dignity of each individual. He taught that parable of the lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. And he said that there is joy among the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Sometimes we think of evangelism as the great scale of the world or a nation or a city, and we think in terms of millions and thousands. But it could be one, just one soul. And there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. This elevates the worth, the dignity of every human being in this world. They may be down and out.
They may be a wreck through the gutters of sin. They may be the last person you'd want to have in your company. But to the Lord, that person is a precious soul. And that person is going to live for all eternity in heaven or in hell. And so it becomes our responsibility. And it becomes the responsibility toward our church. If you love the church of the Lord Jesus, if you say that you want to glorify God in his church, then you will see that evangelism is a very vital part of that. Because the church needs to be built up numerically, as in every other way. And when you see the empty seats that we have in our church, when you see the multitudes that go by without the Lord, we have a responsibility to build up the church of the Lord Jesus and see added to it precious souls. Now, can you think of someone in your life, in your circle, that you could begin praying for, that you could begin witnessing to, that you could begin sharing the gospel with, and seek ultimately to bring them along to build up the church of the Lord Jesus? Now, this brings us to our last point today, and that is a God-given ability. Paul said to Timothy in this text, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy was not his own man. He was given a ministry. And when God gives a ministry, he equips to do the work. And he challenges to give that work. And this was a work that only Timothy could do in that particular area in Ephesus. It was a work that he was charged with, and it was a very solemn responsibility. But not just to those already converted and already who were already believers, but to all men, that they may be brought this message of the Lord Jesus. He was given a ministry. Now, here in our church, we're given a ministry. And this is what we're responsible for. I will not give account for what the church down the road is doing. I will not give account for what the church in some other part of the world is doing. But I will give account to God for the ministry that God has given me and the work that he has given me where he has placed me. And I must do that work. There is no other way than serving the Lord according to that responsibility. Timothy also had learned of Paul. What a great mentor he had. What a great teacher he had. And as he went with Paul on some of his missionary journeys, evangelistic work to various places, he learned how to do it. He learned how to reach men. He saw how Paul went into the synagogues and went into every place where a door was open to him to share the message of the gospel. And so, having had that example, having been so well taught, he had a greater responsibility. He could never stand before God and say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know how to go about it. He was given a wonderful example. Now, we, later in the life of the church, have so many examples of how to do the work of evangelism. And of course, there are many who have excelled, many churches that have been built up, many ministries that God has blessed, and we are given so many helps how to do the work of evangelism. And we've had mentors. We've had those who, even amongst us, have been soul winners, workers, and willing to give of themselves to this work. And we can learn from them. So we have an even greater responsibility. And you can say, well, I don't know how to go and give out literature and talk to people about their souls. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Let's do it as a group. Let's do it really in the biblical way of two by two. And you can go with a person who has done this before, who has learned a few just natural techniques of how to introduce the subject and talk to people about their soul. and you will be much less intimidated. So go along as a helper. Go along as one who will learn on the job. And by that way, we can get up to speed and learn how to share the gospel with men. But we do have a responsibility. And to say, well, I don't know how to do this. Well, you can't stand before God on the judgment day and say, I had no one to help me, no one to guide me. We all have those who will help. Now, another thing that Timothy had going for him was that he knew the scriptures. He knew the Bible very well. If you remember back in 1 Timothy 3:15, that he was taught by his mother and grandmother. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So we can certainly say that Timothy knew his Bible, and he certainly knew the Old Testament scriptures. There would have been the full 39 books of the Old Testament available to him. He was still early on in the New Testament, so there have been some of Paul's letters that he could draw from, and they would have been available to Timothy, but he knew the scriptures. And that's going to be your strongest asset when you go to talk to people about the Lord. You need to know your Bible. Now you say, well, that's daunting for me because I'm young in the faith and I don't know too much. Well, every one of us have special verses that we ought to know. And we may not all memorize them, but we know how to find them in the Bible. And sometimes we can keep a little cheat sheet in the cover of our Bibles, 10 particular verses that are helpful when you're sharing the gospel with somebody. And by that way, we can learn and get used to sharing the gospel. But it's very important that we know our Bibles. And we don't need to know all the philosophies of the world and all the arguments of modern things. We just go with Bible in hand and, hey, would you read this? Would you just read this, what it says in the Bible? Because let me tell you, 99% of people have never read in the Bible. And many people who object to the Bible have never even read its pages. And when we go as witnesses and we open the Bible and say, look, would you just read what the Lord or Paul or Timothy or whoever has wrote in the Bible? And would you just take that to heart? Think about it. It's basically simple. I don't need to get into arguments of all the psychology and all the philosophies of the world. If we know the scriptures and we go with our Bible, that is our sword. And that sword is quick and powerful. And the Spirit of God uses his word. That's the miracle of salvation. We're all saved through the word. We are born again by the word of God. And as we take particular passages of the Bible that are relevant at that moment and share them, get people to read them and think about them, the Spirit of God can send his arrow, his spirit into their hearts and make that a living seed that they may be born again and brought to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, Timothy, we know, was by nature a little bit timid. And in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul said to him, let no man despise thy youth. And so there had been a considerable age gap between Paul and Timothy. Paul was somewhere in his mid-50s when he was writing this before his execution. Timothy, he might have been 20 years younger or even more. He was a young man in comparison to Paul. And no doubt, young men don't always have the same stature as men who are, well, not always taller, but if you have more gray hair, sometimes it helps, or at least that appearance. But when you're sharing the gospel, it doesn't make a button of difference. When you're sharing the message of God's word, your authority is not yourself. Your authority is not how old you are or experienced you are. Your authority is the Bible. And you share that word with full confidence. And you can stand over it. God says in his word. And just leave it there. And so whatever your timidity or reason for being timid, maybe you feel, well, I'm not long enough a Christian. I'm not, I haven't been in Sunday school very long, and I haven't been even in church life very long. Or maybe you say, I'm just a kid. I'm underage for this kind of work. No, there's nobody underage. This is a work that all can do, and we're to make full proof of our ministry. But also, and inevitably, Paul advised Timothy that he was to endure afflictions. And he said to him here in verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." The person who doesn't make an enemy in preaching the gospel is not preaching the gospel. And that's the reality of the work we're about. There will be people who will give us the cold shoulder. There will be people who don't want to see us coming because we have a message that they don't want to hear. And that's because of the natural hostility of man in his heart against the things of God. Now, we can be, at the same time, winning. We can be gracious. We can be kind. And we need to be patient. And sometimes when you share the gospel at first, you can say, that didn't go well. But be patient. Endure afflictions. And say to the person, well, we'll leave it there for now, and in a week's time, maybe I'll come back and we'll talk again. And that way you can not create strong resentment and keep the door open. Always try to keep the door open for the next conversation, for the next opportunity when you come to preach and teach the message of the gospel. Now, I read a little story that was, I think, helpful to us. And this is by a man called John Vassar, a memoir of his life. And it's about an evangelist that was invited along to a very wealthy home. And he started talking to the lady of the home. And she is described in this story as a very uppish, proud type of lady. And this evangelist, he just launched into her. And he said, you need to be saved. And you're under God's wrath. And you need to be born again. And without the new birth, no man will see the kingdom of God. And of course, this lady really resented the boldness of this evangelist in her own home. But he was very persuasive and kept on going. Now, afterwards, of course, she said to her husband about what this evangelist was doing. And he said to her, why didn't you tell him to mind his own business? And her answer to her husband was, well, all the while it appeared to me that he was about his business. And our business is to reach men with the gospel. That's our business. Do the work of an evangelist. And that is our business. That's the work that we're in. I was called on by a family to visit a home. I'm planning to go this week. And this lady is facing some very serious health issues. And I said, well, I'm not a medical person. I can't help you in that area. But if I can share the gospel and bring you God's word, I will gladly do that. And so by that means, I've sort of set the agenda. And I've given the lady to read Romans chapter 5. And I'm planning to go along and read and talk about that passage of Scripture. And so our business, my business is not medical. I don't think you would want me to be doing surgery on you or any other kind of medical procedure either for that part. I'm not a medical person. Mind you, if I was a surgeon, my philosophy would be cut it out. That'd be my philosophy if I was a surgeon. That's the kind of approach I would normally. Well, if it's a problem, just cut it out. And I don't think you'd want me doing that. My business is an evangelist, to share the gospel. And I want that to be your business too. I want that to be your goal as you pray every day, Lord, lead me to some soul. And you know, it's amazing how the Lord just brings people into our pathway and gives us an opportunity to speak to them about their soul. And then we should keep this kind of literature, gospel cards, church cards, and share the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. And right now, this church, especially coming up to the Easter season, we need workers who will do the work of an evangelist.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. What a blessing to have you, and I trust that the Lord will encourage your own heart and minister to you more and more. An atheistic scientist was incurably ill. A Christian friend visited him and said, "You realize that you will not recover, don't you?" Anticipating that the question was designed to elicit a discussion of religion, the scientist said, "But I don't believe in God or a hereafter." "You haven't long to live," continued the friend, "and you want life above everything else, don't you, Bill?" "Above everything else," quietly replied the scientist. Then the Christian spoke of a physiological law in God's creation. "You are a biologist, Bill, and as you know, the lion was made to eat flesh, not straw. The cow was made to eat hay, not flesh. The fins of the fish indicate that water is the medium of its being. The wings of the birds indicate that the air is its predetermined element. Do you think that the Creator has capriciously implanted in man, who stands at the acme of his creation, soul yearnings for which he has made no satisfying provision? Your insatiable yearning for life is indicative of the fact that God has given to you an immortal soul, which can know no rest until it rests in Him, finding satisfaction in the eternal God." The scientist, who through the years had sought for biological truth, said, "You've got me. I confess that your argument is unanswerable." It is hoped that the newly enlightened scientist turned in faith to the one who said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." What a wonderful gospel, and I trust that today that you will see that the one who made your soul made a heaven, that you might have a blessed soul for all eternity. Now for the final announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.